Will you pray with me? Lord, let my words and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So again, happy Mother's Day. Whether you are a mother or you're a mother-like mentor, we want to celebrate you. Whether you fed and changed and bathed or prayed with or wiped tears away or encouraged, that's really a big deal. So I do want to say happy Mother's Day to all the women in this room who have stood beside people in different seasons of someone's life, because we need women. I will just say that right out there. We need women. So happy Mother's Day. We are in three weeks into the Easter season, and we're doing a sermon series called Living for Jesus. What does it mean to live out the resurrection, to really serve a risen Lord? To serve a risen Lord, to carry on what Jesus commanded his disciples to do after he left earth to go sit at the right hand of God, his Father. He left us with a commandment like this, and I know we say it a lot in this at this church, but I think it's one that always needs to be reminded, that new commandment that he said in John 13, love one another as I have loved you. By this, all people will know who you are. You're my disciples, you are my friends, you're my followers, your children and brother and sisters in the family of God. That's how they know that word, by this. That word is talking about a love, a great love that doesn't require a membership or a down payment. It doesn't require a vote. It just requires us to say a simple yes and to open our hearts up to love all people, just like Jesus did. It sounds simple, but it's difficult. We looked at what it meant to follow Jesus in the first week, what it meant to follow him. He was leaving. He wasn't going to be here on earth anymore. What does that look like? We also looked at what it meant to believe a risen God that wasn't with us anymore, that we couldn't see. We saw how Thomas struggled with it, to have faith in times of doubt and uncertainty, keeping our eyes open to see Jesus at work in the world and those around us, because he's still here, moving through us. Last week, the two Craigs, thank you, two Craigs, wherever you are, they talked about listening to God, how to listen to a God who still speaks to us. This God speaks to us and whispers words of love and wisdom, direction, guidance, discipline, providing peace that surpasses all understanding just by quieting ourselves and listening to what he wants to say in our lives. He speaks to us through scripture, through nature, through prayer, the Holy Spirit, and through one another. Today we're going to look at what it means to be marked by a living God. If we're to live for God, then it means that we're marked. We are marked by, so that others can see who we are. And more importantly, not just who we are, but whose we are, who we belong to. I can say that as a mother of five, this ties into the Mother's Day a little bit, people knew I was a mother because I was marked with spit up. I was marked with blowout diapers. How many mothers knew that? You'd get someplace and a blowout diaper marked you as a mother. Food, paint, dirt. Sometimes I was marked with the dark circles under my eyes that meant I didn't sleep or that I was up late worrying about a teen. That's the same with dads. Parenthood marks us all the time. But what does it mean to be marked by a loving God? In biblical times, we knew that it meant anointed or set apart. Set apart for service, anointed for service. In the Old Testament, we saw the prophets, the priests, the kings were anointed into their callings. It was a way of inauguration. Perhaps more significantly, the kings were commissioned as leaders of the nation in public ceremonies by being anointed with oil. Think of the presidential inauguration, where they get up there every 4 years and they take an oath in front of everyone right there at the Capitol in Washington, D.C. It's the beginning of a new term. But rather, for us, having an oath, taking an office, Israel's new kings were drenched with oil from head to toe. And when the kings were anointed, it was hoped that God's character, and even more powerfully, God's spirit, would accompany them into this new calling, into this new place. For example, when King David was anointed, it said in Scripture in Samuel, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him from that day forward. We see that Jesus was called the Anointed One. When he was baptized It depicted a starting of his ministry and anointing. He went down into the waters, and when he rose, he was anointed, and they said, "This is God's beloved son." In Psalm, it talked about that he was the anointed one. In Isaiah, he's the chosen one. In this way, Jesus was set apart and empowered for his ministry here on earth. He was set apart. It was the inauguration of the Lord's ministry for his kingdom right here. He launches it with Isaiah. He repeats Isaiah in the New Testament. And he wants to say, this is exactly what it means to be anointed, what this endeavor is going to look like, being anointed or set apart. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to captives and recover the sight to the blind and set those who are oppressed free, proclaiming the favorable year of the Lord." Now, when we're talking about this, Jesus was set apart to preach the gospel to the poor, but he really wasn't talking about the financially poor. It wasn't financial. It was poor in spirit. It was pushed aside, maybe ignored, maybe forgotten, maybe the ones that found themselves in the margins. That was the poor. Jesus brought was bringing freedom to those that felt captive, also that felt oppressed. How many times have you felt captive to something? And what has Jesus done in your life to bring freedom? Jesus came to give sight to those who were blind. And blind physically, of course, we see that Jesus healed the blind, but he also came to give sight spiritually, intellectually, emotionally, to help us see the way God sees, to change the lens in which we see the world and those that are in it. His mission, that was his mission and purpose here on earth. And that commandment that said, "Love everyone like I have loved you," was so that we would be marked, so that others would see something in us that led them back to him. When they see something in us, we're hoping that it points back to Jesus. That's so big. So we started talking about this in our worship planning meeting, and I was saying how for years when I was doing life coaching, and even still, I still will do a couple corporate workshops, and I'll do workshops on effective communication and conflict resolution. And I'm always told, okay, you can't do anything faith-based. That's hard for me, right? You can't do anything faith-based, which means no God talk, no scripture, anything like that. And you might think it's hard, but after you've done it for 15 years, you know the script, and you don't say God, and you don't say scripture, and things like that. But inevitably, I'm leaving the workshop, and someone comes running after me down the hall, almost every time. "Are you a Christian?" Wow. "Are you a Christian?" You see, I've been marked by that love of Jesus so deep that even when I don't talk about Jesus, his presence is felt. His presence is felt. Even if they don't know what it is, they still know there's something different. When we allow God's Holy Spirit to work in us, people start feeling it around us, even when we don't use words, right? Even if I don't say, "Jesus loves you," they know there's something different. Some of our best sermons that we give, all of us, are preached without any words. Well, then Mitch, who is sometimes in the worship team, he runs Anthem, he was talking about it, and he said he plays out at the Ritz and all these wonderful places, and people watch him, and he takes requests and everything, and he's up there playing, and he said there was this family kind of on the front by the pool that kept talking about, "Well, we want him to sing this song, but he couldn't figure out what song they were talking about and what, so between sets, he walked down, and he said, "Hey, guys, what do you want me to play?" And the parents of these kids said, "Oh, I don't think you're going to know this song. We don't think you're going to know it." They go, "It's a Christian song." And he said, "What is it?" And he said what it was. And he said, "Oh, I know that one." And the little boy looked up at his parents and said, "See, I knew he and God were friends." The invisible mark of Jesus on our lives. This mark is felt by those around us because we're living for Jesus. In 2 Corinthians, you heard God anointed us. Not with water or with oil, but with his spirit. We're drenched in the goodness of God's very presence that surrounds us. You see, we're set apart by love, and we're empowered and anointed and marked by God's Holy Spirit when we say yes. We've been drenched in the goodness of his presence, and we're marked and set apart for a special calling to show up and live out this love, to lay down our lives daily for God's glory in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, in our schools, everyday moments of our lives. Now, if we're honest, we have to admit that there are some in our communities that are hard to love, that are challenging. It's hard to see Jesus in them. We all have those people. Instead of, it's hard to see, you know, the divine in them sometimes because they frustrate us. As Rachel Held Evans, the late Rachel Held Evans, wrote, "The easiest way to make oneself righteous is to make someone else a sinner." I would be bold enough to say that I know I have a list that makes people frustrated and challenging, that I'm challenging, and that I can be difficult to love. I'm sure you do too. We're all sinners, all fall short, all in need of a Savior, and yet, we are still found lovable in the grace-filled sight of Jesus. When we are at our worst, Jesus is at his best. He's our best. And when we're still invited to the table while we all are a work in progress, none of us are perfect, and we're marked by the love of God. We are invited to come to the same table together. We're marked in love, and then we're brought to the same table as one. Joshua Ryan Butler states, when we say yes to God, God sets us apart for himself, not to be pushed out of the hard places, but rather to faithfully serve within them. We're still going to have difficult times, but it's how we serve within those difficult moments. We're to act as caretakers, to carry on what Jesus has asked us to do, to follow him in those days, standing firm in our faith, allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us so people can feel that mark. He's calling us, you and me, to labor alongside of him, to do his work, reconciliation, restoration, to bring his love to the world. So this week, I want you to ponder, how's your mark showing? What is the mark in your life? How do people feel it? What do people see? Does your mark show even without speaking a word? Frederick Buechner reminds us, if you want to be holy, be kind. I also say, if we want to be Christ-like, let's love like Jesus. You see, we are set apart, each and every single one of us, which means the Lord's Spirit is upon us as well. It wasn't just the disciples. It wasn't from Old Testament. It wasn't when Jesus was leaving. It's still today. That's what Paul's talking about. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us as well, anointing us to preach the gospel, or even more importantly, how about to live out the gospel? To live it out in our actions, even more than our words, to release captives, those that are held captive to things, to encourage and love them and pray for them, to help the blind see the way God sees, to free those living in oppression. We're to proclaim God's favor and love for all people and all God's children, even if we don't utter a word, through that invisible mark that Jesus has left on our lives. May the mark of love be felt by everyone you're around this week. Happy Mother's Day.